We're going to look at this timeline, and we're going to do some comparisons and explain some things that came up in my study that helped me satisfy my mind. So we're going to mesh with the timeline. We're going to mesh the accounts of Acts and the letter to the Galatians. We're going to explain this 14-year comment that's made in verse 1 of chapter 2. We're going to show the years of things that we're going on. Do y'all have enough? Do you need more? Need some more? You'll just face up on the copy room there and it'll punch in the number and it should spit it out. But if you look on this that we've passed out, I'm sorry y'all don't have one yet, some of you don't. We start up here with the conversion of Paul at the top of the timeline. Now the timeline's going right down the center, and on the left side you see the Galatian scripture. On the right side you see the Acts scripture. And that helps us time what's happening together with the books as we go down through there. You'll notice in Galatians 1 and verse 17, where we just picked back up tonight and was reemphasizing it. It says he went to Damascus and Arabia and returned. He said he went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. But when he starts in verse 18, he says, "Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem." On the left side, if you look down at 18, verse 18, it mentions went to Jerusalem. I've got a bracket there, and with an arrow that goes to that 3 years pass. And if you look at the right side, you see an axe. Thank you. You see that it only mentions chapter 9 and verse 19 of Acts. Only says some days passed at Damascus. It's not clearly defined as it is in verse 18 of Galatians 1 that 3 years passed. And we know that because when we go on down through on the right side, verse 19 through 22 of Acts 9, we see there that Paul preached in the synagogues. He was busy during this time. Paul, he didn't go to Jerusalem the first time completely green. He's been preaching. He's been out preaching in the synagogues. He's already had the first run-in with the Jews, we see in verse 23 of Acts 9, where he's preaching, the Jews had plotted to try to kill him. So he had to get out of there. He was let down in the basket we read about in verse 25 of chapter 9. All that was taking place before he made this first trip up to Jerusalem after his conversion. And he went to see Peter. So you see, he's been preaching. He's going up to speak with Peter. And that's why it's so great that Barnabas was able to vouch for Paul and what he was teaching, because he's been teaching for 3 years. He's founded. He's solid. And Barnabas can vouch for him on those grounds and get him into the church of Jerusalem, because the church of Jerusalem was going to have nothing to do with somebody that was seeking him out to kill him. But he vouched for him, and they heard about him, and they heard about his preaching. So this first time that he went up, we see on the timeline down there so far, chapter 1, verse 18, Jerusalem, he goes there to see Peter. If you flip over to Acts 9, verse 26, it just mentions that he came to Jerusalem. It mentions in 27 that Barnabas had to introduce him to the church because of what we just mentioned. Verse 28, he was accepted in Jerusalem. He was accepted because Barnabas had vouched for him and they knew his preaching to be solid. It was truly divine. It was inspired by Christ. And they put their stamp of approval on him. But just like before, when the Jews tried to kill him, now they're raised again, the Hellenists are, which are pretty much Jews too of a Greek influence, but the Hellenists are offended by Paul's preaching, and now they try to kill Paul, it says in Acts 9 and verse 29. So we get an idea here more of why this visit was only 15 days. We see the atmosphere that he was in, this harsh or hostile atmosphere that he was trying to operate in. When we get down in Galatians to chapter 1 and verse 21, when it mentioned he went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. When we flip over to the Acts side, the account over on the other side there, it further clarifies. It says that they brought him down, getting him away from these Hellenists to escape their harassment and their attempt to kill him. And he was sent to Tarsus. Tarsus is his home. They sent him home. But he's working from home. And in verse 32 of Acts 9, you see Acts kind of take a flip back and starts recording Peter's events and some of the things that happened to him. It picks back up in chapter 11 and verse 22 down there where Barnabas sent to Antioch for Paul. He's escaped. He's went home. He spent this time down there in this west, in these regions of Syria and Cilicia. But now Barnabas is sent to Antioch. He's sent down there to get Paul. He brings him back in verse 26 of chapter 11 in Acts. And this is when chapter 11, verse 27 through 30 of Acts, we read about an occurrence that we don't see over here in Galatia, in the letter to Galatians. 11 and verse 27 through 30 says, "And in these days," this is after Barnabas has brought him back, this is all going on right now while he's in this Syria and Cilicia area. He says, "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." What we have is a trip that's in between the two that Paul has mentioned in Galatians 1. This is a second trip that Paul made, which raised the question when you started in chapter 2, he says, and then again after 14 years he went to Jerusalem. It kind of raised thought in my mind that I had to go back and clarify. Chapter 13, if you notice in Acts, that's when that first journey begins. And there's a whole lot of things that's going to happen in between 13 and then chapter 15 of Acts down there in the timeline where it picks back up with Galatia. But the point I'm trying to make in Galatians is from that verse, chapter 1, 21 in Galatians to the first verse in chapter 2, there's a whole lot going on over here in Acts that Paul's not referring to or discussing with the Galatians. That's why we need to have in our minds Galatians is a letter of Paul to those churches for instruction and for help. And we're getting ready to go into one of those problems. He's not addressing all of his events and everything that happened as the other books pick up and do. So when you get down in Galatians to chapter 2 and verse 1, it says 14 years pass. That's easy for me now to explain, but I had a problem with this for a while. It says 14 years, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. But when you plug that second visit in between those two, you see that that visit happened between 14 years, within that 14 years. That's why I did the timeline. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, it was 14 years till he went back to Jerusalem. on what he's addressing them with. He wasn't making the comment that that was his only trips. And that's what I had to get, and that's why I wrote that explanation at the bottom. This 14-year explanation with this other trip that wasn't mentioned is simply because the books did two different things. One was events and one was a letter to the Galatians. But we notice here, he had never mentioned this second trip to the Galatians. So why would he give a time reference in 2 and verse 1 to an event that he'd never mentioned or said anything about? He was merely making a reference. He's going back again after 14 years. After 14 years of the last one we just talked about, I'm going back with the problems that we're having here on these false teachers that were coming in with these Judaistic ideas. I put an explanation down there. It says, he hadn't mentioned the second trip in the letter. He only mentioned the first trip. The 14 years was merely the time lapse from the last comment that he made in the letter, and was not an all-exclusive record of times that he visited Judean soil. He's given them an idea of time since his last mention to them in the letter of going to Jerusalem. In this case, again, does not exclude any other trips. It merely means in addition to. He's not saying this is my second trip. He's just saying I had to go again. And the 14-year comment gave him context to the last mention that he made in the letter of going to Jerusalem. In other words, why would he give them a reference to something in the letter that he had mentioned to them in the letter? I got so bogged down in trying to explain this 14 years that I knew there was another visit to Jerusalem that wasn't mentioned in Galatia. I should have just took it at that face value, but I kept trying to explain to myself. And it's simple as that. It's just the word again. It doesn't mean... He didn't say this is my second trip back to Jerusalem. He says I'm going back again. It's the same thing I do all the time. I go to Frankfurt all the time. I go to Frankfurt on all kinds of reasons. But if I'm working something for somebody and I go to Frankfurt because of that, I go back 6 months later and say I had to go back to Frankfurt again to get this straightened out. That doesn't mean I've not been back to Frankfurt in between. It just means what I'm talking about here, it's been this long, I'm going back again. And that's all Paul was doing. He's just making mention. He had just told them he'd been up there. He made that visit. 14 years later, I'm going again. It doesn't mean I've not been back in between. He's just saying, I'm going back again. I know that the timeline helped me a whole lot, number one, in getting my time frames together. I'm not big on dates, on years, because you see such a fluctuation on everybody that's an expert. If God had wanted a year assigned to something, He would have given it to us. What we know for sure is that there was 14 years between the first and third trip that Paul took to Jerusalem, and that the 3 years passed before that that he did work up there. That's all we need to know. If God would wanted us to know more, He would have gave it to us. If you go to some of your study guides, and the reason I say this is because you'll see a variant in ranges. You see, I put down AD 37 about the time he came to Jerusalem. You'll see some that'll attribute that to 39. So it's going to vary 2 or 3 years depending on where you go get your information, because they have different time variants. Something about my timeline that's a little deceiving. You see, in 15:1, they're going on this debate. They're going back to get this letter on circumcision, this chapter 2 is referring to here. And then my next entry on the Acts side is 15:36, where the second journey, approximate time, was starting in A.D. 50. That second journey was up there real close to that 15:1 as far as time periods go. It looks like it's a long time has passed, but it's not. I just separated it for easier reading, but it's kind of deceptive in that matter. But I hope that the timeline has helped, if nothing else, that we can go back and when we see him mentioning these two trips to Jerusalem and we go to Acts and we see three, or one that's not mentioned at least in Galatians, that second trip, we can explain to ourselves and understand why that wasn't mentioned and why that wasn't there. Got any questions about that? I warn you, this is just simply my stuff I put down there. Don't rely completely on it. That's just what I went through in my mind trying to get myself. I know I've mentioned to Bernice and I've mentioned to Donnie too that I was having trouble, you know, with this unmentioned trip and how to rationalize that in my mind, but it made perfect sense after a little while. Again, didn't mean all-inclusive of every trip I made. It just meant I wrote to you about this visit, and I'm going to tell you about this visit. That explains it good enough for me. I think God's Word does it better than anything. We'll break off right there, but make a short conclusion. 5 points. One of the great examples or evidences for Christianity was Saul's conversion. In particular, his great change from persecuting Christ to preaching Christ. The extent to which he gave his life for Christ. His cost of discipleship. Remember we talked about cheap discipleship. Nothing cheap about Paul. Paul paid a big price. The reason for Paul's conversion, number 4, Christ appeared to him and revealed the gospel to him. And number 5, the gospel is the only man's hope for eternal life, and we know that from Romans 1:16. So that kind of concludes that first chapter. Does anybody have anything to add or questions or corrections that you know we need to make? Or if not, we'll pick up starting with chapter 2, and we're going to go into some of these things in more depth as we move on in.